Log Talk Radio.
That men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wondrous works toward men. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. He made the heavens and earth and all that is.
Tell you, the longer I live, the more I want to praise Him, the more I realize His goodness unto the children of men. And the song says, all the men would praise the Lord for His wondrous works to the goodness of man. This is Pastor Dr. Cassandra McDonald coming to you, praising God. And that is what our subject is about today. Worship now, because God is working. Lord, if we just believe the scriptures, we would have no worry, or no fret, because we know actually he's worked it out. And he's worked it out on our behalf. I was speaking with one of my friends, and we say this and we know this, but she said, but ooh, walking through that process. And I told her, I learned something and I keep trying to apply it and apply it. But I tell you, when you get from the third grade to the fourth to the fifth, whew, it can be a bit testy, but you know what? Worship still works. Praise is the perfect place of peace. It's where peace resides. That's why you have to worship and praise him. And she was saying that she has two big occasions happening that she's having to prepare for events. And she says, oh my goodness, I'm so frustrated. I'm just burnt out. She says, I'm so glad you called because you're always encouraging. She says, but I'm just stressed out. I said, this is a celebration. That's what it's supposed to be, not frustration, but a celebration. And you know how it is. I don't know if you ever event plan, but if you're on any part of event planning, it can be frustrating because you're trying to get things to come together, planning anything. you're trying to get things to come together. You're trying to get people to cooperate. You would love that everybody thought like you, so they would move and respond like you, but that's not going to happen. But I said, I learned a valuable lesson quite some time ago. And when I was teaching at Muskingum for the 21 years, probably for the last 12 to 15 years, I always took them to New York the Easter weekend because we had Friday off. So we'd leave out that Thursday and have those days in New York, get back early on, or late rather, on Saturday night. Well, actually be early Sunday morning. That way they could still go and worship at home. But that's how we spent our Easter time, was in New York with my choir. So this one time, my friend, who she and I shared a birthday date together, suddenly passed away. Now, I'm already booked to fly into New York, take my students, take my choir, and her funeral's on that Friday. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I mean, it was such a puzzlement. It was making me quite nervous. I wanted to be there to pay my regrets and regards and, you know, sing at her funeral and participate and so forth and so on. And I was being told I was obligated as a church obligation. But this is my job obligation and what I do with my kids as well. And I'm like, I didn't know what to do. I called the airlines to see if I could cancel. They said, well, you're not a blood relative. But the Lord gave me favor. I said, Lord, you just tell me what to do. So I decided that every time I thought about that Friday and that 10 o'clock funeral, I said, wherever I am and whatever happened on Friday, it was wonderful. So when you have something that's, even if it's a, if you're in school as of an exam, or if you're working as a project, or just whatever in life that becomes an obstacle, that, I mean, you're praying and you call yourself giving it over to the Lord and you're waiting to hear direction from the Lord and, you know, you're doing the things that you know to do, but it's not quite working. So I said, I have to come up with a new strategy. I didn't know how to give it over to him. So I said, I'm just going to have a mindset that wherever I am and whatever happened at the end of that day, it was wonderful and I had a good time. So I wouldn't allow myself to think. I would just always insert that mindset. So as I was calling the airline, I found favor with a person. She says, let's just pretend that return ticket on Saturday night did not happen, and let's just look for a new ticket. So she was able to find one that was quite inexpensive. I flew my kids there, put them in the hand of my kids, meaning my choir, and got them settled in, put them in the hands of my two sons that were living in New York, and let them, you know, manage them. And then I flew in, never went to sleep for those 48 hours, and flew back, did the funeral, caught a little disease, and then I went back to the airport to pick them up. I mean, it worked out where I was in two places at one time, I was almost at the same time, minus sleep, of course. But, you know, God is a good guy, and it just showed me, you know, if you can't figure it out, which most of the times you can't, just take it and place it. And while you're placing it, praise him. So I just worshiped. I'm like, Lord, you've already been there. You have your legs crossed and you're sipping, I see. And I said, I just need to worship because I know it's worked out. I don't know what or how. Perfect. I have a little situation now. And it's a puzzlement. And I just heard God saying, trust me, I have this worked out. So every time I think about it, I just insert his voice that I heard. And I know his voice. He says, trust me, I have it worked out. It's done. And the person I'm working with, the Lord has given that person peace with it. And neither one of us have a solution or how we're going to. I don't have a clue. But I know it's worked. It's already finished. That's the cool thing about God. So again, the review. This year, thy will on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there is no stress. In heaven, there is no worry, no puzzlement, no obstacles that I don't know what to do. No. That's why he says, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Ha! That's what God really wants us to have. Now, my little visual on the paper, I found this. Love it. It says, until God opens the next door for you, praise him in the hallway. Ha! Goraba Shanda. Shout up and down them steps until that door opens. And ask big while you're waiting. This is a big God. Why would you not? My father is rich in houses of land. He says, according to his riches and glory. Oh, my dad is rich, so why wouldn't I ask? Big. It's my father. He says, you ask not, you have not, because you ask not. Now, I'm going to start our scripture reading backwards because this is the first scripture that God impacted with me. It's from Jude, which is only one book, so they're just verses. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. How? With exceeding joy. He don't want you coming up before his presence all stressed out and tired and bent over and out of shape. No, 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 no. You come to God in with exceeding, not just joy or some joy, exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. That is how we come to God. So, oh, my goodness, what does that mean? He's just showing me this just now. I hadn't thought of it before. So when you come, okay, catch this. When you come to God, ooh, Jesus, this is hot. When you come to God, you have to come into his presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Here's what it says. Now unto him, 24th, that is able. Now, it talks about falling, but he said he can keep you from falling. And do what? Present you faultless. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. But what I hear God saying to me is, when you come to me, don't come sorry, sappy, whiny. Actually, nobody wants to hear that, for real. Because it's not a solution. He says, come to me with exceeding joy. Talk about, oh my goodness. Talk about the things. Encourage yourself. Talk about the things I've already done for you. Oh, the member, praise the Lord for his wondrous works and his goodness unto the children of men. Talk about those things. Come already joyful, knowing you cannot be defeated. It's impossible because he says here he's able to present you faultless. Oh, let me share this with you. Oh, my goodness. And my scripture reading today, read it several times, but it's a random. And when I do my daily, I just want to see what God wants to say. So this is taken from 2 Kings, 3rd chapter, 15th verse. So what happened in this setting? They called on Elijah. They said, do we have a prophet? So they got Elijah. But here's what Elijah said. To you musicians, now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass. The minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Okay, so a minstrel brings joy. That goes right along with the other scripture. It brings joy. That's what my angel in the room. Hello. Wow. Huh. Wow. Huh. Thank you. An angel, the minstrel came and played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Elisha asked for a minstrel. So he wanted the music to usher in the presence of the Lord through his playing. And he did. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make the valley full of ditches. I've read this over and over again, but today, I'm on the 17th verse. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall, listen to this, ye shall not see the wind, neither shall ye see the rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water. Ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. And then he says, and this is but a light thing. This is no biggie. In the sight of the Lord. And he will deliver the Moabites also into your hands. That's why you can come to God joyfully. Oh, my goodness. Now, I've read this so many times, but in my, and I was singing, great is my faithfulness, oh, Lord. My Father, you know, it goes morning by morning, morning by morning, the mercies I see. And I was singing that, and I said, when they wake up in this, when they were awakened in the morning, every ditch that they dug was filled with water. That's the mercy, morning by morning. I said, oh my God. He said, you're not going to see the wind, you're not going to see the rain. But your ditches, they were out in the desert, and they needed water. And they were up against the Moabites. And God said, this, this is but a light thing. This is how God takes care of his people who love him. And I went, ah, wow. So, I won't see it coming. I won't see any evidence. And that's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. I won't see it. But it'll be there. Because God will speak a word and the ditches will be filled. And I can be watered. And he said, and your beast also can be watered. And by the way, you will defeat the Moabites. So every enemy has been conquered. There is nothing. Now, I'll read the first part of Jude that I chose. And it was, keep yourselves. Oh, what I wanted to do is also include a little bit from Job. And this is what Job said. And I'm going to show you how he worshiped. And when everything had been taken away from Job, you know what he did? He blessed the name of the Lord, and in all this, Job sinned not, and nor did he charge God foolishly. And another part, it says he stopped and he worshiped. So when things happen to us, I'm telling you, worship is the formula for stopping and getting, not begging, not slobbering, sad sapping, but worship. And it said God inhabits praise. So if you want to know where he lives, if you want to get a hold of God, it said he inhabits praise. So praise him. Worship him. Tell him how much you love him, how much you believe and know that he's already done the work. And that's why you can worship. Hey, Shabbat. That's why you can worship, because he's already done it. Already done the work. You don't have to work. You don't have to toil. God said, I've already done it. So the rest of Jude 21st, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Always look for it. And as some of you have compassion making a difference, and others save with fears, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by flesh. And then it says, now to him that's able to keep me from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. How? With exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, glory and majesty, dominion and power. Ooh, Jesus. Both now and ever. Always worship him. That's the first thing Joseph did when he lost his children, his cattle, all of his riches gone. The first thing he did was worship God. And he said, naked I came and naked I go. But I'm still going to worship you. Always choose God first. If you want results and you want God to move, allow him to order your steps. Allow him to give you peace. You know, receive. It says, let the peace of God abide. Let it abide in me. God assigns us to be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. So it's not our might and it's not our strength. Don't get it twisted. You don't have what you need to get through anything. That's why there's God. And that's why he sent his Holy Spirit. Be sure you have it. They say you shall have power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. I'm telling you, there's no situation in your life that God has not worked it out. Yes, do we work through the process? The process is just to build our strength, to build our faith. As far as the work, we don't work. It's already done. We believe and we wait on God because he has the perfect plan. And he'll grow you in the waiting. But worship is the key. Worship him and love him. Worship him now because he's worked it out on your behalf. He's working it out for your good. In the name of Jesus, be blessed and be strengthened to know, no, you don't have to see it. If you could see it, it wouldn't take faith. But your faith, and instead, according to your faith, being unto you, increase your faith. Increase it and say, God, I believe. God, for you I live, and God, for you I die. But I believe you have this. And I know I will be blessed because it now it will work. Now it will work on my behalf. In Jesus' name, be blessed.